Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited about this morning. I was thrilled that when I saw the series that you were doing, I think this is going to change things. It's going to change us as individuals, as a church, as Folkestone and Hythe. It's going to cause something to rise of the Spirit of God in this area, that we're going to see the kingdoms of darkness thrown back because the kingdom of light will extend. And I think that's exciting. I don't know about you, but I'm just so grateful to be a part of that. Just want to start where I believe you left off last week, just to link it in. And I believe that you were looking at one of the scriptures that you looked at was from 1 Peter about the roaring lion. And I just want to start by recapping from that, if I may, in case anybody wasn't here, and just to remind those of us who were here. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 11. It says this, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what does that, just as a foundation for today, what does that tell us about our adversary? First of all, it's telling us to be watchful. Look out, be aware. And Dave's going to come and just share in a few minutes about that. It's important that we're aware. And I think that's what this series is doing, isn't it? Making us aware. We do have an adversary. We do have an enemy. It's no good thinking, if I lie low, then I'll be okay. No, sorry, you won't. Not if you're following Christ. You have an adversary. He prowls around like a roaring lion. He can be threatening. He can make a lot of noise. He can be fearful. And he prowls, he looks for opportunities. That makes us vulnerable to a certain extent, that he's prowling, looking for open doors. That his end is destruction and death. That's what he's after. He's after our, as Christians, destruction and death. That's not pleasant to hear, but that's what he will do. There is no love, there is no mercy, no goodness. That's our enemy. No love, no mercy, no goodness. So opposite to what we know of the loving Heavenly Father, who is all goodness, all love, all mercy. What a contrast. We are to resist him. We're not to run from him, although there are times when it's wise to run from situations. Get your running shoes on if you think, wow, this is dangerous here. I'm going the other way. I'm not getting involved here. There are times when we need to run. But we need never run from the enemy in fear. We need never do that. Fear is one of his ploys. But we stand in the truth of knowing who we are in Christ, and that in Christ we can resist the devil. He's the one who has to flee, not us. And we're told clearly here, resist. Sometimes that's hard, isn't it? When we're dithering in a situation and we're struggling with a situation, or our mind is going towards negatives yet again, it's hard to resist. It's not easy, but it's clear we are to resist the devil. Be strong, stand, resist. We are engaged in battle, but we are not unarmed. We are in armed combat. And as we learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, so we know how to put on the shield and the armor, and guess others will be talking about that. We are not unarmed. We have everything we need to resist the enemy. We have everything we need to resist the enemy. So we are to resist him, and we are to live in faith, not fear. This is not a personal battle to you and me. This is a worldwide battle. Your brothers and sisters throughout the world are facing this same battle. It may be different skirmishes, it may look different, but this is not personal. It's not the enemy saying, James, I'll pick on James out of the whole world. It's not. It's as soon as we yield to Christ and we become Christians, we are a threat to the enemy and we are numbered amongst his enemies. And that's our battle that we face. So that's what I think we were looking at last time. And Dave is going to just speak for a few minutes on the first bit about look out, be watchful, be aware.
Be watchful is very important to me. As a young leader, I was very, very aware of my limitations. I'm still aware of my limitations. And so consequently, I learned how to live in the gifts of the Spirit. I learned how to live in the Word of God. I learned to seek after God with all of my heart, wholeheartedly, earnestly, desiring spiritual gifts, especially that I might learn how to love. But of all the 9 spiritual gifts, the one that I spent most time seeking God for, you'd be most surprised. Was it tongues? No, I had that. Was it prophecy? No, I could prophesy. Was it signs and wonders, miracles and faith, healing? No, it was diakrisis. It was the ability to distinguish between different kinds of spirit. What I called on God for more than anything else was discernment. Because I figured that I knew so little, and he'd been around for so many years, God had, but so had the enemy, that unless I stayed close to God and close to his Spirit and called on him consistently for the gift of discernment, I would be in major trouble. And some people think I've got the gift of suspicion. Because sometimes I can see things and I can sense things without having any evidence for them. Just shadows that ultimately become substance. Now, don't go and panic and walk away from me at the end of this meeting in fear. But I began to ask the Lord about this. And one day, a young man came to our house. And we'd just begun a church, and we had a lot of young people. We had many, many single girls. How many of you know that's a great magnet for single men? And this single man turned up, and he was everything that a mother-in-law would dream of for a son-in-law. He was good-looking, he was intelligent, he was articulate, he was pleasant, he was polite, he was well-mannered. And he came to me, and he said something to me that utterly shocked me. Nobody else knew what I was thinking or what I'd been praying about. But I knew the church was growing so fast that there was no way that we could handle the church pastorally by one person pastoring the whole church. And I felt God had begun to speak to me about discipleship. And so I'd shared this with no one. I was just keeping it in my heart and saying, Lord, show me when, show me when. And this guy, out of the blue, staying for the weekend in our house, full of single women coming in and out all the time, he says to me, I would like you to disciple me. And the moment he did, I felt the red light go and a buzzer go inside me. And the Holy Spirit said to me, no. So I didn't speak to him and answer. I went upstairs and prayed. And what the Lord showed me was quite shocking. So I come downstairs about an hour later and he says to me, well, will you disciple me or will you not disciple me? I said, no, I can't. God has said no. Why has he said no? How many of you know there are times you don't want to answer? And I had one of those moments. I said, well, you don't really want to know. He'd be about 21, I'd be about 24. And I just looked him in the eye. I said, do you really want to know? He said, yes. I said, well, what the Lord has said to me is you are a wolf in sheep's clothing. There was dead silence. And then he exploded. He was angry. He was abusive. I told him to pack his bags. He left the house. I watched him walking up the drive. And as he walked up the drive, guess what happened to me? Condemnation came all over me. You were cruel. You were unkind. We had other sisters in the house. They were kind of looking at me as if to say, what have you done now? A potential husband is disappearing up the drive. And I went upstairs and I prayed with Chris and Jeff and Mary Norwich and another couple of single girls. And as I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and he said, discernment shall become to you like common sense. It was one of the best words I've ever heard from Jesus. 7 months later, we heard the news that he'd gone to another fellowship and the first thing he did was get one of the single girls pregnant. And I learned that discernment was a very important gift to have in the flock for the care of the flock. And a scripture that meant so much to me was this. It's in Hebrews 6, or Hebrews 5, and it's verse 14. It says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have had their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Saints, we are very naive. We can be extremely gullible when we don't go after God to seek his gift of discernment. It's a gift that can keep you safe in desperate situations. It's a gift that can keep you from discernment, from demonic activity, deception, and disaster. Be watchful. This is a great series. I hope you're very grateful to Jeremy for putting this together with the leaders of the church.
Thanks, Dave. I said to Dave last night, I said, I haven't got many illustrations, I haven't got many stories, and there aren't many funny stories you can tell when you when you're preparing about the occult and the enemy and so on, so it's all a bit sort of serious, but glorious. The actual title this morning is Taking Sides, and we know we have an enemy, and I think I just want to concentrate a little bit around that concept of there being two sides, side of darkness and a side of glorious light. And I'd just like us to look at the scripture in Colossians, which is, I think, probably one of my favourite scriptures. Just love this. Colossians 1, can I read it to you? And then we'll just unpack it a bit. Colossians 1, verse 8. No, let's see. Thing is, I want to read it all. Verse 11. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. That's an important word. I don't know if you've got the same word in your translations, qualified you. So keep hold of that in your mind. It's qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He's qualified you to share the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He's delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I love this because it's so clear. I love the clarity of the picture that you get in your mind, that we've got a domain of darkness. Domain, from the French word, which means an estate, an area. Only an area. It's a domain. It's real. It's got a prince over it. It's powerful, but it's a domain. And from this domain, there can be a transference to a kingdom with a king. That's a powerful picture. Those of you who like pictures, I like pictures. I like to see things. I like diagrams. I like to see it in black and white. And here we've got the strongest picture that we could ever have. You have been transferred from a domain of darkness into a kingdom of light. Isn't that powerful? That's powerful. And this domain of darkness, let's just think a bit about it, because it says that we were all in it. You and I were all in it. There may even be somebody today who feels that they're still in it. That's okay, because you're going to get an opportunity in a minute that if you want, you can say, I no longer want to live there, I want to live here. So every one of us can leave this meeting this morning knowing that we are not over there, we're here in the kingdom of light with a king. That's exciting. Look excited about it. That's great. But most of us know we've made that transference, I know. So, Ephesians 6 talks about principalities and powers, that this has got a prince, the prince of the air. It's not to be ignored. It's not to be minimalized. It's powerful. Smith Wigglesworth says a wonderful thing. He says, Satan is mighty, but God is almighty. We have a mighty enemy, but he is not almighty. He is a defeated foe as well. Wonderful. And here that this prince of darkness who is in this domain, he is waiting to steal the word of God from us. One of his main strategies, let's learn a bit about his strategies. Let's learn a bit about how we recognize him. He likes to steal the word of God from us. You know the story about the sower? Makes it very clear in there that what he comes to steal is the word of God. Why would he come to steal the word of God? Because it's the most powerful thing that you and I have got, because it tells us who we are in Christ. It tells us who we are. And if we would only know that, we know it in part, I believe. I don't believe we've got anywhere near the fullness of it. I know I haven't. All these years of reading it, I have still not got the fullness of his word. But if we can take his word into situations, if we can live by his word, if we can know his word and see the effect of his word in our life, then we will know what it is to live in victory. And the enemy does not want that. So he will cast doubts. He will say, did God say? Do you really believe that? You can't believe that. What he's after is the truth of the word of God in your life. That's what he wants to take from us. And we see that, don't we? And that, you know, if there was a big sort of black figure that entered and stood here and said, I want you to go and rob that bank down the road, we wouldn't have any problem resisting that, would we? We'd think, oh, he's horrible. I don't want anything to do with that. But he doesn't come to us like that. That would be easy. We wouldn't be talking about warfare. If he would appear as like the archetypal picture that we imagine with the forked tail and the horns, and you wouldn't want to look at him, and he would tell you to do horrendous things. Easy. Game over. No temptation. But he's cleverer than that. And he knows our weaknesses. And he will come at an angle in our lives. And one of those angles is doubt. A big one. Big one, that we have to resist doubt. That's why we have to know the word of God. You think about it, in the Garden of Eden, what was it? How did he come to Adam and Eve? He said, did God say? I think if he'd have come and said, Adam, eat that fruit, Adam would have said no. I don't know, I'm only guessing. Would have been easy, but he didn't. Did God say, don't eat that one? Look, that rather nice looking one there. Doubt. What about the temptations? If you are the Son of God, casting doubt on it. Do you see how he comes? He comes at you and me the same way. It's one of his strategies. He hasn't got a lot of strategies, actually. That's one of them. And Gary, I want you out here. Sorry, I missed asking you. I want you to come out and stand here. I've asked him beforehand. I want you to imagine that all these things, Gary's in the kingdom of darkness here, okay? Sorry, Gary. You're in the kingdom of darkness, okay? So he's over here. So this is where he's standing, which is where all of us were standing at one point in our lives. And he's got the prince of darkness who's messing with his mind, messing with his life, drawing him into all sorts of stuff he doesn't want to get involved in, but can't seem to stand against it. And the doubts and the lies are coming at him, because that is the strategy of the enemy. It says in John 8:44 that he is the father of lies and a murderer. There's no truth in him. What Gary's being bombarded with day and night is lies. Lies about who he is. You're not very good at that. You're not like so-and-so. Well, you failed at that. Don't look as good as the next guy. Actually, he does. He's a great specimen of manhood. We all know that. But see, it's not all bad, is it? But like, you know, all the time it's relentless. Stupid fears that we think, why are we frightened of that? Silly little fears. Great fears. Fears of what people think about us. Fear of death. Fear of illness. Fear of being like our mum or our dad. I don't want to be like that. Fear of not in this case, of course. Do you know, like all sorts of things bombarding us, bombarding our mind. That's the work of the enemy. I took Dave into, well, We went into Morrison's the other day, and there was this guy there. I'm just getting to know him. He's new, coming to the church. His life is a real mess. And I said, he was looking. I said, "Oh, hi, nice to see you." He turns around, gives me a great big hug. Only met him once before. Great big hug. "Hi, Chris." So I'm saying, "Dave, this is I'll call him Peter. It's not his real name. This is Peter." I said, "How are you, Peter?" And he said, "I'm rubbish." I said, no, you are not rubbish. You are not rubbish. God loves you. That's not the truth. But that is so typical of being over here. We're rubbish. We're not this. We'll never get free. You're nodding. You know it's true. This is it, isn't it? There are counterfeit practices in this domain. That all the gifts of the Spirit are counterfeited here. And the end is destruction, not life. They can look sparkly and glittery and they can look good, but behind them is death. And all the bondages that we have in our lives, fear being one of them. One of the girls from home sent me a word for you. She said she'd been praying for the church here, and I'd just like to read what she says. She said, "Was listening to this song, Whom Shall I Fear?" from Chris Tomlin's Burning Lights, and felt God speak to the Kent church you're going to. I see a large portcullis door that is heavy, down and closed, trapping people inside. God has not made you to stay behind enclosed walls. The God who is exalted higher than all the thrones and principalities, above every ruler and authority, and above every realm of power there is, calls you to be free. He wants to lift up the heavy gates and release you to experience the measureless power of God made available through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. I sense that fear is lingering. Anything not of God cannot stand. Behold, the divine maker of all is by your side. The mighty God is your friend. Jesus, resurrection power, has raised us up and seated us with him at his place of supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Know your place in the kingdom of God. You live in the Garden of England. Your Creator made you to be free to walk in it with him. Now is the time to know the full truth of where God has called you to be. Come, take your place." Quite a powerful word. Sins and habits, sicknesses, mental anguish, feeling of having no direction, no future, hopelessness. These are all in this domain. And some of us have experienced those things. We know. We know what it is to be there. I don't want to talk too much more about that because of time. I just want to go back to one word here. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son. Gary, you know a lot about football. I don't know much about football at all. But I guess when somebody gets transferred from one team to another, the manager changes. Is that right? The manager changes if they go into another team?
If that's the manager that's transferring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He transfers you, if you're the player on his team,
yeah,
and you're going to get a transfer.
With you, I get a different manager.
Right, you're going to get a different manager, yeah? Is that right?
That is correct. Do I need to stay this side?
Yeah? We haven't paid the fee yet. You're going to get a transfer, Gary. You're going to change teams. You're going to have a new manager that you're answerable to. He's going to help you in a new way. He's going to be by your side. He's going to support you as you play the game. You're going to get a new kit. You're not going to wear those old colours anymore. Even though you've had great loyalty in playing for that team, you're going to get a new kit. You're going to look different. You're going to be equipped with different things. You might even get a new position. Okay. Do you want to be transferred?
Yes.
Good answer. I'm glad you said that, because this team is rubbish. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, who has paid the price and defeated the enemy, Gary, you can go into the kingdom of light. Yay! Woo! Does that feel better? Yeah, much better, much better. He's in the kingdom of Jesus, a new king. This is a kingdom. This is an eternal kingdom. We were singing that wonderful song, which I didn't know before, about being around the throne, that one, the last one we sang. This is an eternal kingdom. This one leads to the pit. This one leads to eternal glory. This one's eternal life. This manager, this king, is a good king. He has nothing but goodness and mercy and a plan and a future for you. There is no condemnation over you anymore. All your sins have been forgiven. You have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is finished, and the enemy over there cannot touch you anymore. He will try, he will prowl around like a roaring lion, but he has no authority because the price has been paid. You have been qualified. You hold that in your hand, and nothing can snatch it away from you. You now have an eternal kingdom that you belong to. Not only that, but in your plan and in your future, you are now a Christian. You are a carrier of the light of God. That just as he is light, so you are light in the world. That as you follow the light, so you are salt and light in the world. That wherever you go, you can push back the kingdoms of darkness. You need not run from the kingdom of darkness. You are carrying the presence of God with you because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And wherever you go, Gary, you will see the kingdoms of darkness being pushed back, because nothing is too great for you as his child, for you are a child of God. Isn't that wonderful? And that is transference for every one of us. I like it. This is where we're living. I wonder if there are people here today who feel that they're still standing here. That they've still got all these doubts coming at them and all these lies coming at them. And they're not too sure that they've given their life to Jesus. Or they have given their life to Jesus, but they still feel that they're tied to this kingdom by these fears or things that would hold them back. And it may be that today you want to do exactly what Gary's done. That through the cross, through the way that has been made for us, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you want to make that transference. And I just, before we go on any further, if that is anybody, I want you to come and just stand here. If you feel that that's what you would like to do, to make it clear that you've been transferred from one domain into a kingdom of light. Is there anybody who would like to do that at this point? If there isn't, fine, we'll go on. Just give you a minute to think about that. If you want to make it clear to the enemy and to Jesus that you have made that transference in your life. Everybody clear? Yeah. It's more than one person. I know it's more than one person who needs to do this morning. Just stand with me for a moment. Can I stand? Somebody else. Two more. Is there one more person? Maybe a man. Okay. God loves you so much, you guys. He told me there would be five people who would come out. One of them would be a man. God, he's got a plan and a purpose for you. Something's going to happen here. I want you to come this side of the lectern. This is just symbolic. It doesn't mean anything at all apart from just sometimes, you know, if you're a concrete type thinker like me, I like to actually do something. So let's just pray. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father, we thank you for the truth and the reality that although there is a prince in the kingdom of darkness, we do not have to live in that place. Thank you that you have opened up a way for freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Thank you, Lord, that that's the inheritance of each one of these people standing here. Thank you that there need be no more fear that has any hold in their lives. We just cut off from them any fear that might be upon them. Fear of the future. Fear of who they are not, what the enemy has told them they are not. We break that off them in the name of Jesus Christ, because you never tell us who we are not. You always tell us who we are. And we just pray a cutting off of all those things of the enemy that has come over these five people in the name of Jesus Christ. And we appropriate the work of the cross upon their lives now. And we just pray that as they move over to the other side, that there will be a transference. We pray a transference, an actual transference over their lives, a cutting off of the enemy and a new lordship in their lives in the name of Jesus. Just like you to just walk over and stand there with Gary. Just pray for total freedom to come, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the new boss. You are the new manager. You are the new one who will rule and reign in their lives. Yeah. You have been transferred in the name of Jesus Christ. You have a new boss from this time on. You have a new kit that you have to wear. It's called freedom and salvation and redemption. You are wearing it. You are beautiful in the sight of God. He does not reject you. You are overflowing with acceptance. You are overflowing with acceptance, because whatever man has done to you in the past, God accepts you so much. You are overflowing with acceptance. He joys over you. He dances over you with joy. Congratulations that you are now living under a new king. Congratulations. I've said enough, and I'm going to ask Karen to come and share. She will. It'll all come out clearly, I think, in what she's going to read out. But this is an example. I am so delighted Karen is here this morning, because this is such an example of the power of the enemy, what he can do, but also the fact that he is defeated and nothing of the enemy needs stand under the power of the living God. And that's a wonderful, victorious thing. So Karen, take your liberty. Bless you.
Hi. My testimony is about a journey that started 16 years ago, just after I got baptised. At the time, Matt and I were part of the Hatch Warren House Church, which was overseen by Bruce Blow. Bruce used to come round and visit us regularly and quickly realised that I had many issues that needed to be prayed about. I had lots of deliverance from things that I had done in my teens and from my fears. However, God told him that there was a large stronghold in my past that was hidden, and that he felt someone else needed to take this on. Anne Marie Ford, who was the leader's wife at the time, and my friend Celia started to see me for theophostic counselling, and this brought more things up but still didn't reveal the root of the problem. I would have horrendous nightmares that would leave me paralysed and trying to scream for help. Matthew, my husband, would wake to find me trying to call out, but just able to make a small noise and absolutely frozen rigid. I also had voices that spoke to me, and I started to believe that I was schizophrenic. I would have suicidal thoughts, and my anorexia started to rear its head again. I struggled to read my Bible, as it made no sense. I had swearing at God in my head, and I couldn't sing worship songs without feeling sick and dizzy. Anne Marie decided to send me to Marilyn Denning for prayer, and this is when the truth started to be revealed. She believed that I had dissociated from something in the past. This is when the brain locks away a horrific memory to save the person at the time. Before Anne Marie shared what Marilyn had felt, God gave me a picture to prepare me. I saw myself in front of a piece of soil that was full of weeds. What struck me was that I was a little girl in the picture, and Jesus had his hand down on my shoulder. I heard God say that although the weeds were visible, the roots went very deep and were hidden. He told me that it would be very painful digging them up, but that Jesus was going to be with me. This meant nothing to me at the time, but was soon to become very clear. I told Anne Marie, and this started many years of counselling with Roger and Mary Lloyd. My mum was depressed throughout my childhood, and our neighbours would have me over to stay the night to help her. My mum and dad trusted them, as she was her midwife, and he was very high up in the Metropolitan Police. My youngest memory dates back to when I was just 3 years old, although they regularly looked after me before that. They would take me to satanic rituals where I was made to make promises. I saw truly horrific acts and had horrendously frightening things done to me. The only thing I will say is that I lost some of my hearing in one ear due to them putting burning hot metal rods in them to stop me telling anyone. His wife would then deal with the weeping and bleeding as she was a nurse. They also said that my dad was one of the hooded men, and so they would know if I ever said anything, which resulted in me growing up very distant from my dad, and I would never let him hug me. Enough said about that. My husband Matt has been my absolute rock throughout this time and put up with me crying in the night for my nanny and not knowing where I am, as well as having to put up with my waking up screaming from the memories. Matt would have to get our friends round to come and sit with me if he was going out in case I did anything silly, because at times I just didn't want to have to carry on facing it anymore and wanted to just give up on life. About 5 years ago, I decided that I'd had enough of having counselling and I deceived Roger and Mary into thinking that I was absolutely fine. However, I'd just buried it away and over the last 2 years, it has all started to come to the surface again. For the last year, I have been battling with drinking too much. It just helped me to unwind and block out the battle that raged in my head and to help me to sleep. However, in September, I really started to spiral out of control and I began to trigger more and more. Andy and John Coombs tried to find someone to counsel me, but there was no one local and it was going to cost too much in time and money. I also really felt that God was going to do it dramatically this time, as did my husband Matt and Andy, which went against everything I'd ever been told about the walk to freedom and this sort of abuse. In December, after a particularly bad night and having drunk too much again, I broke down and begged God to help me. I clearly heard him say that when the first daffodil bloomed in my garden, I would have breakthrough. I decided to go teetotal until that time. I failed again and the psycho guilt started again. In the last few weeks, I've triggered more and more with me dissociating completely and having absolutely no recollection of hours of my life. However, alongside this downward spiral, I had found a newfound desire to get closer to God and had started to listen to Christian music all the time. About a month ago, I prayed again that God would set me free and that he said he was going to send a messenger to tell me when I was free. I saw Bruce Blow, who was a person who God used to start this all off. Since he hadn't been to visit us for 10 years, I said that I didn't think it was from God, but my imagination. On a Thursday before Friday night worship, the first daffodil bloomed in my garden. The next day, I went to the Friday night worship evening and was expecting that God might set me free. I wept all the way through the meeting. My head was shaking violently, which happened when I triggered. Voices were telling me that it was all a load of rubbish and that I didn't deserve to be there. I felt the most utter despair, and when I got home, I couldn't stop crying and said that God was never going to set me free. I woke up early on Sunday morning and felt that God wanted me to go to celebration. Mary Andrews gave a picture that the dove was coming back with an olive leaf in its beak and that new life was coming. At that moment, I heard very clearly, today is the day. Emily Harland picked me out to give me a word that I did not hear at all, as I wept all the way through it, but she said that God had heard the cry of my heart and that he was going to fulfil it, as it was his desire too. At the end of the meeting, I was prayed for by Emily, Andy and Chris Richards. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in a powerful way and was uncontrollably crying, which turned into laughter as I was completely set free. I felt such a joy and peace that I have never felt before in my life. As I laid there, I heard God say, "It is finished." I had never shared the picture of me in front of the soil with my sister, so when she told me that God had given her a picture for me, I was so excited. She saw an allotment patch that was completely weed-free and had the finest tilled soil. She saw Jesus sowing new seed in his soil. So the picture at the end was the same as the one at the beginning. What I also didn't know was that Chris Richards had been praying for me all week after the meeting, that God would give me a sign that I'd definitely been set free. 1 week later, on a Saturday, 28th March, it was my 40th birthday, and I can honestly say it was the best birthday I could have wished for. At 10:30, the doorbell went, and it was Bruce Blow. He had no idea what had happened the week before, but just felt that God wanted him to pop in and see me after 10 years. So the person that God sent to start it was a messenger that God sent to pray for me and show me that it had truly finished. I had a picture as he prayed for me of Jesus coming into the ritual and scooping me up in his arms and walking me out of there, never to revisit it in my memory again. Bruce pointed out that 40 is a significant amount of time in the Bible, so even that detail wasn't missed by God, which is incredible. My 40 years in captivity were ended, and God didn't send him a day before or after my 40 years to draw a line in the sand. My next visit is just after with our friends Peter Marion, who supported Matt and myself through the darkest times. Again, it was like God was sending everyone to me to mark an end and to rejoice in the amazing redemption that God has done in my life. I have no desire to drink. I can worship God so freely. I have such a passion for God that I have never had in my life. It's like being a Christian for the first time. So we have a truly amazing God who doesn't miss a single detail.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks, Karen. We need to go. Thank you, Lord. We really do worship you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that the victory is yours. And as we stand in you, as we love you more, as we stand on your word and love your word more, Lord, the enemy can't get at us at all. We can stay free. Lord, I thank you that you cause us to bring everything into the light, that the word occult means hidden, yet you encourage us to bring everything into the light. And Lord, we just pray that the things that we battle with, that we be able to bring them into the light, and we will be a people who truly know what it is to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.